It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. We'll hear from a West Virginian this morning who wants to see religious Christmas traditions embraced like they were 50, 60 years ago.
I think that I'm going to say the most offensive thing that I could possibly say in public, and that is, this is a Christian nation.
We'll hear more in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. With just days left before a congressional deadline, advocates for black lung treatment are pushing Senator Mitch McConnell to secure funding for minors' benefits.
Oh, Mitch McConnell, when will you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door, knocks like black.
About two dozen people demonstrated Wednesday near McConnell's regional office in London, Kentucky. They want the Senate's powerful majority leader to extend the tax on coal that supports the federal Black Lung Trust Fund. If Congress does not act, the tax will decrease by about half, adding billions of dollars of debt to the fund. Disabled miner Jimmy Moore is the president of the Southeast Kentucky Black Lung Association. He said he's concerned that the fund will no longer be able to provide benefits for sick miners.
It's a shame that people have to gang up like this to get attention, you know, but they don't listen to taxpayers. They listen to people, the coal operators with the money, and we don't have the money.
The National Mining Association says the current rate of the coal tax should be allowed to expire, calling it an unfair burden on a struggling industry. The National Audubon Society Christmas bird count is, for many people, a holiday tradition. For about a 24-hour period between December 14th and January 5th, citizen scientists look at the skies, trees, and bird feeders to identify and count as many birds as possible. It's been going on in West Virginia for 80 years and in North America for nearly 120 years. Glennis Board has this report.
That's a junco chipping. That's what I'm hearing. Sharp and harsh enough to be a cardinal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a lighter chip.
Bill Beatty and Jan Runyon are naturalists, educators, and birders. They recently showed me around their property in Brook County, West Virginia. Beatty told me he was brought up in a housing project in Pittsburgh. He liked plants, he says, but birds were for sissies. In 1972, though, he had to conduct a bird survey for a college course he was taking. The first day of the survey, he saw something he never noticed before.
There were eastern bluebirds, all blue with the orange breast and some white underneath. And I'd never seen anything so beautiful in my life. And that moment changed me. I had to do 9 surveys to qualify for enough data. But after that bluebird incident, I did 27.
Later that year, on a January morning, Beatty joined a group of birders who were out counting as many birds as they could for the Audubon Society's annual Christmas bird count. He's participated every year since.
In West Virginia, we have 20 Christmas bird count circles throughout the state.
Larry Helgerman manages the Christmas bird count in West Virginia on behalf of the Audubon Society. He explains the count was created in response to a different holiday tradition.
Back in 1899, people would go out after the Christmas or after the first of New Year's, and they would shoot as many birds and animals as they could. It was a sport.
An ornithologist at the time, Frank Chapman, thought he'd try to start a different tradition.
He came up with the idea of, instead of shooting birds, why don't we just count the birds and sort of make it a conservation thing?
Christmas Day of the year 1900, 27 people across the U.S. and Canada counted about 18,000 birds of 90 species. Last year, 77,000 people across more than 2,500 locations participated. According to the Audubon Society, it's the oldest running citizen scientist survey in the world. Jan Runyon, a birder and educator in Brook County with Beatty, says the Christmas bird count presents valuable learning opportunities for people who might just be getting into birds.
It's a good way to go with somebody who knows more about what's there. It's not overwhelming like the spring is overwhelming with all the songs and everything like that. So it's an entry-level thing that you can do to become a better birder.
Do you hear that? Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a pileated woodpecker. Some people call it pileated. And it's our biggest woodpecker. It's about the size of a crow.
The people that are the most knowledgeable about birds find that they do most of their birding, more than 50%, some even say 90%, by ear. So when you really want to know what's out there, you need to know what you're listening to.
Runyon says for someone who isn't experienced, it seems like an impossible task to differentiate between bird calls. But she says, just like you can close your eyes at a family gathering and know the difference between family members' voices, you can also learn to know the birds.
You just have to be out there and experience with them.
Beatty and Runyon love to be outside, especially this time of year. And it is very peaceful.
Now, this same spot in the later in the spring, like late April through May and through June into early summer, is so loud with bird songs.
Really?
Because the birds sing songs to defend their territories. And that's what they do the whole time during nesting season.
So why would this bird count happen at this time of year and not during the spring?
Well, they do have spring counts.
Okay.
Yeah, they do that. And then we're just counting numbers of species. Mm-hmm. With a Christmas bird count, we're trying to determine population.
Beatty says a lot has changed since he started observing more than 40 years ago.
It's not at all the same today. I remember going in the woods early on, and we'd have what we call a fallout. There would be these birds called warblers migrating, and then when they're hungry, they just fall into a forest. When you're in a fallout, they're everywhere. I mean, just absolutely everywhere. We don't see it like we used to at all. There'll be fallouts, but they're much fewer birds.
Beatty explains the bird population trends gathered during the Christmas count are good environmental indicators to warn humans about various dangers. On the Audubon website now, there are even mapping tools that show how and where populations of various species have changed in the past decade. The survey's West Virginia manager, Larry Helgerman, says he's looking for more birders to participate, especially in the southern part of the state. The counts are ongoing through the first week of January. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Brook County.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. There's a chance of rain today with highs in the 40s and 50s. Rain heavy at times tonight with lows in the 40s. A chance of rain tomorrow with highs in the 40s.
What do you wonder about West Virginia? What if you could choose West Virginia Public Broadcasting's next story?
How did West Virginia get its crazy shape?
Is the Capitol Theater in Wheeling haunted?
What was West Virginia like before interstate?
Is Country Roads actually written about West Virginia?
Wild Wondering West Virginia is a new series devoted to answering questions about the Mountain State. You submit the questions, the public votes, and we'll work on finding the answer. Visit us online at wvpublic.org or Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Thanks.
In the latest episode of Us and Them, host Trey Kay responds to a cyclical flare-up of social media comments related to a war on Christmas. Hubbub over politically correct holiday greetings or nativity scenes on government property, traditionalists and secularists are often at odds. In this excerpt from the episode, Trey speaks with a friend that he grew up with in Charleston, who worries the religious aspects of Christmas are being eroded from the holiday.
I think that I'm going to say the most offensive thing that I could possibly say in public, and that is, this is a Christian nation. It's a Judeo-Christian nation.
How do you figure that?
The values that Christianity brought over from the old world to the new world, guided the founding fathers in the creation of the Constitution. I believe that our Constitution was divinely inspired. I honestly believe that. This continent was held back to be a place where Christians would be able to gather at some point in history to be able to escape some of the external forces that were fighting against Christianity, and that this nation was founded as a result of that.
Frank believes that these days Christians are playing defense against overly litigious civil libertarian groups. A few years ago, he wrote about one group in particular, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, in an editorial in his local paper called, Right From the Start, Suit Up for the War on Christmas.
In Franklin County, Indiana, they went to court and they ended up setting up their own nativity scene on the lawn of the courthouse that will now hold a Statue of Liberty, a statue of Washington, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson, all huddled around a manger, cradling the Bill of Rights instead of baby Jesus. So that doesn't tell me that they're just trying to block this display of religion in public. Now they're actually trying to get in your face with it.
Frank is right. The Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a lawsuit charging that Franklin County was mainly endorsing one religion, Christianity, by putting up religious icons and images on government property. To counter that legal action, the county commissioners compromised by opening their courthouse lawn for the display to any group, religious or secular, for just a fee of $25. So a Christian group could rent one part of the lawn and put up a nativity scene, and a secular group could put up a winter solstice display on another part. But beyond public battles over nativity scenes, Frank has noticed tensions when exchanging simple holiday greetings.
My hope is that if you're Jewish and you say Happy Hanukkah, that everyone will accept you for what you are and move along. My hope is that if you celebrate Kwanzaa, that when you say Joyous Kwanzaa to someone, they'll smile back at you, acknowledge your greeting, and that everything will go on. But I also want people to be able to say Merry Christmas and not have to end up getting a bad look or a bad gaze or having people pull their children closer to you to stay away from the crazy Christian.
And have you experienced that happening? Because I haven't experienced that.
I've gotten disparaging looks for that. Just actually in the last couple of weeks. Not every time, not every other time, not every tenth time. But it has happened. And that wouldn't have happened at all 20 or 30 years ago.
And so these infrequent times where you get a look when somebody says Merry Christmas to you, that is evidence of a war on Christmas?
It's a sniper shot.
Wow. Okay.
We've been listening to an excerpt of the Us and Them episode, which is called War on Christmas, Really? To hear the entire episode, tune into West Virginia Public Broadcasting this Saturday at 3 p.m. And of course, you can download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.